Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a little bit, I'm going to give you a prediction, yet another prediction that we have issued on the show for decades now, and many of them have been confirmed in just astounding ways, many with amazing scientific discoveries confirming the predictions that we have made on Real Science Radio and throughout the week here on Bob and Yurt Live. So this prediction coming up in a few moments. Also, we want to talk about the men everywhere saying they're women competing in women's sports and wiping out the girls. It is happening in sport after sport after sport in the U.S., in Europe, in Australia. And you have the Olympics now saying that men could compete in women's sports. And NCAA, college sports, saying men can compete in women's sports. And so, of course, the men are winning because the men are bigger and stronger. They have more lung capacity, more muscle mass. And then you also have the girls who say they're boys who take testosterone. So it's basically like taking steroids. And then they're competing not in the boy sports, because they lose. They're competing in the girl sports, and they're winning because they've been taking muscle-enhancing injections for years. And so it's all this doping going on in the name of insanity. You know, America is in the midst of a psychotic episode, and we're getting to witness it with front-row seats. The Associated Press now, their new style guide, they want people to avoid using the term opposite sex. You can't say that. It's not inclusive. I mean, it's virtual hate speech, really. You can't say both genders. Nothing like that. So America has become an insane asylum run by the criminally insane. So before any of that and our other news stories, I would like to share with you a call, Beth from Oak Ridge, Tennessee, whose friend is going to die unless she has an abortion. Her friend is pregnant, and she called into the show, told our call screener. By the way, our number has not changed in 26 years now. 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. She told our call screener that her friend is pregnant and she's going to die unless she has an abortion. And so let's hear this call now. This is from what, a few years ago? Yeah. So let's hear this.
All right, let's go to Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Beth, speak your mind.
Hi.
Hello, Beth.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. A friend of mine is going to have a child and it's known that she's going to die if she has it. And should she have an abortion or should she have the child? It's definite that she's going to die.
All right.
If she has the child.
Hey, Beth.
Mm-hmm.
That story brings up like a moral dilemma, right? And you have to figure out what's right and what's wrong.
I'm just asking because a majority of conservatives,
yeah, I understand,
would say that you should have the abortion.
I understand, but I'm just saying the story you point out, this problem, points out a moral dilemma. And you have to figure out whether somebody knows right from wrong and see what their answer is, right? So you're calling to test me, sort of.
No, I'm just asking you what you might do if you were faced with a situation like this.
Okay, but could I first present you with another situation? And to ask you what's right or wrong.
You could, but I wouldn't really know what's right or what's wrong. Only God knows that.
No, not in this circumstance, but another circumstance, all right?
Sure.
All right? What if What if a caller called into a nationally syndicated TV talk show and lied? But they lied because they wanted to make a point. Would that be a good thing to do or a bad thing to do?
It'd be a bad thing to do.
Okay. So why did you do it?
Why did I do what?
Why did you lie?
Because I would like to see what was going through your mind. What would go through your mind. And why...
Okay, Beth. So why didn't you say, Bob, in this situation, why did you, like so many other liberals, lie? Why did you call up and say, I have a friend, and maybe make the whole audience start feeling for you? Some people out there, you know, they're feelers, and they start getting sad right away. You think that's right for you to play on people's emotions to make a point? And you know what?
Bob, you're right, and I was wrong. And that was so bad of me to do.
All right, Beth, so now let's talk about the issue you brought up.
Thank you.
Let's talk about abortion and the life of a mother. All right? Almost the vast majority of times when that issue comes up, no one's talking about the life of a mother because the woman's life, the mother's life, is rarely threatened through an abortion, but it does happen. It does happen. But what we do know is that pregnancy brought to full term is an incredible safety factor for a woman's life. Because, for example, breast cancer is much less likely in a woman who's gone through a complete pregnancy. Did you know that? That women who have an abortion have a dramatically increased risk of breast cancer. So you want to talk about a woman's life being threatened. But now let's talk about the pregnancy.
It's wrong and it's immoral, and I would never do it.
Okay.
But I was just wondering in that situation.
All right, now we'll get to your point. Let's say a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, right?
Yes.
You know what that is? Where the fertilized egg is coming down the fallopian tube and gets lodged, and it doesn't make it into the uterus.
Stop the tape. Hey, this is Bob, and you're interrupting my own call from back in 1996. We'll continue with that, but I just like to point out that in the years since, it's been two decades, we have learned here that when a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, it turns out that some years after this broadcast, ABC News reported that 40% of ectopic pregnancies are not. They're diagnosed as ectopic, and they're later revealed to be normal intrauterine pregnancies. So that's off the top. Also, it turns out that hundreds of moms and babies survive actual ectopic pregnancy based on the studies done. If you go to American Right to Life's website, and we'll link to this today, but AmericanRightToLife.org/life, L-I-F-E, and you just scroll down to ectopic pregnancy, you will see, and it's absolutely astounding, the number of moms and babies who survive ectopic pregnancy. And then you will learn of something else. It turns out, and this is published in the Scientific Journal, it turns out that when a doctor attempts to transplant a baby who's growing in his mother's fallopian tube and takes that baby and transplants the baby into her uterus, it turns out that not only is that perfectly plausible, but that when it's been tried, it has worked and the baby lives to full term and is delivered healthy, saving mom and baby. So there's a lot more to ectopic pregnancy than the American Medical Association and then the media would want you to think. They always are looking for reasons to kill a baby, to justify killing babies. And the more reasons they could have for killing babies, then they assuage their guilt. They don't feel as evil when they think, well, there's all kinds of good reasons. Like when they say, well, your baby, the baby in the womb, your baby has hydrocephalus, He's going to be born a monster with a huge head. He's going to die. So you have to abort him. And there have been plenty of examples. In fact, we have friends of this show where they a simple procedure, they put a shunt, a little tube, and they run it from the baby's base of his skull down into his stomach. And that just drains the fluid, and the baby's perfectly healthy. A beautiful little baby. And they actually put extra, because the baby grows, right, as he becomes a toddler and then a young child and then eventually a teenager and an adult. And so they wind up extra tube in the baby's stomach so that as he grows, it just stretches. And it's astounding. And so, but they look for reasons to say why you got to kill this baby. And they exaggerate because it makes them feel better. But at any rate, we could have talked about preeclampsia because that avoids all those particulars about ectopic pregnancy. And preeclampsia is a condition when a woman is pregnant. If she comes down with preeclampsia, then certainly she will die, the baby will die when it gets bad enough, unless you deliver the baby. And so the goal then even is to deliver the baby and do what you can to love and care for both the mother and the child. But if one dies, if the baby dies, that's a tragedy. That's sad, but that's not the goal. The goal is never to kill the mother to save the baby, nor is it to kill the baby to save the mother. I'm talking about for a moral person, for a doctor who knows right from wrong, for someone who has a fear of the Lord. You don't intentionally kill one innocent person to save someone else. You do your best to save both. And if the baby dies, that is a tragedy. It's not the goal. The abortion used to mean to abort the pregnancy. So one way to abort the pregnancy is by delivering the baby. They no longer mean that. What they mean by abortion today is you abort the baby, you kill the baby. Even though delivering the baby could save the mother, that's insufficient because then the baby's alive. You got to kill the baby. That is our modern mindset, which is bloodthirsty, and it's in rebellion against God. And one day, all these people who are advocating child killing, they'll all stand before the Lord, and they'll meet. In fact, on Judgment Day, they will meet the children that they advocated killing, and those children will testify against them. So that will happen. But let's continue with Beth from Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Make it into the uterus, and it begins to develop in the tube. And that cannot work. In that situation, the egg is getting bigger in the fallopian tube, and the baby will die, and the mother will die. We know that. So something needs to be done. If you're a doctor, and you got to move to do something. So this is what you do. If you have a medical emergency, and you have to save someone, you do everything you can to save them. But you don't intentionally kill one person to save another. So what we do is we go in to save the mom, and we remove this little tiny fertilized human embryo. We remove it. Or it's not an embryo yet, it's a zygote. We remove it. And we wish we could implant it in the womb so the baby can be protected and grow. But we're not smart enough yet to do that. We don't know how to do that. Only God would know how to do that right now. So we remove the baby, we save the mother, and the tragedy is the baby dies. But we pray and we move forward to the point where we could save the baby and the mother. That's what we do. All right, Beth?
I just want to make it clear that I wasn't trying to confront you with any situation. I was just wondering how you felt about that.
Okay.
And how it might be handled in a Christian manner.
Okay. Did you understand the answer?
Oh, yes, I understand. But
okay, a doctor...
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, a doctor should never go in with the goal of a procedure be to kill a patient. And the baby, according to Williams Obstetrics, one of the major textbooks in colleges for obstetricians, Williams Obstetrics says today the baby is the second patient because we can treat the baby in the womb. It's an exciting thing. Thank you, Beth.
All right. So there's a never-ending effort to think that there are all these gray areas in morality where we can't know what is right and wrong. And that's not true, because God will not judge anyone for something they could not have known. He will not do that. Some Christians get confused and they think that you can't know that there is a God. You can't absolutely know. But the Bible says that the evidence for God's existence is clearly seen, being evident in the things that are made, so that those who reject him are without excuse. That's from the book of Romans, chapter 1 in the New Testament. So, regarding everything for which men will stand before God and give an account, we can know right from wrong. And one of the things that we should know, it should be one of the simple things, is that you don't kill a baby. You don't intentionally kill a baby. It's like torturing puppies or something, right? It should be obvious that you don't dismember a child. Liberals today will object to someone killing a bug, an insect. In fact, years ago, there was a column in the Miami Herald, and the animal rights activist who wrote the column said that she was on the highway there in Florida, and maybe it was Interstate 95, I-95, I think that's what she said it was, and certain insect species was swarming. So she advised the readers to do what she did and pull off the road so you don't accidentally kill any of the bugs with your windshield. Now that's, you know, people worship dirt. They're dirt worshipers. They're bug worshipers. They're cow dung worshipers. Some people take cow dung and they put it on their heads to feel closer to their God. Like Hindus, they think everything is a God. And so when you reject the creator God, then you're left with just the creation. So one way or another, you are part of the creation. So maybe you end up worshiping yourself, or you become a dirt worshiper or Mother Earth. Okay. So I said that we'd like to give a prediction, which I want to do. And this is about the drop in cancer mortality by the year 2025. I want to let you know what it is right now, and what we are predicting here at Bob and Yurt Live, it will be by 2025, a significant drop. But before that, a couple news stories. One about men competing in women's sports. So it's really amazing. Men everywhere are saying that they're women, and they're competing in, here's a sample of the sports, where there's actual news reports. We know this is all going on in weightlifting, in softball. Imagine you have women's weightlifting. This one gal, she was just devastated. She said, you know, I'm willing to compete against anybody, men, transgenders, but really, and I lost, but really, it's cheating. That's what she said. And she said, I don't know how my opponent could have any integrity and compete in this sport. And of course, that's true, right? Of course. So men are competing in women's weightlifting, women's softball, women's cycling, track, wrestling, football. There's a photo of this football player. I got to show our call screener and the studio audience. I just got to show you guys. I'm going to turn my computer around, right? Could you guys look at this photo of these woman football players and look at the one guy who says he's a girl? It's just unbelievable. Could you imagine that guy going up against those girls and just decking them? I mean, that's like abuse. That's like abuse for that guy. Look how skinny the girls are next to him compared to him. He's an Amazon. So, at any rate, you've got, of course, cheating going on at this phenomenal scale, systematic cheating, but it's part of the insanity of our world, whether it's the denial that God made us male and female, like Jesus said in the Gospels, that God made us male and female at the beginning of creation, and that God instituted marriage between a man and a woman, and that God is the one who said, do not kill the innocent. All these things, right? And so you've got, change the subject for a second, Neil Gorsuch wants to be a Supreme Court justice nominated by Donald Trump, which we've been warning all Christians and pro-lifers, beware the pro-abortion policies and judges that will come from the Trump administration. And so he said, well, the law of the land is that fetus, a baby in the womb, is not a person. That's the law of the land. So under the guise of following the law, they become lawless. When you set aside God's enduring command, do not murder, you become lawless. So with this flippant lie that you have to support the killing of a child because you're following the law, you have become lawless. So a nation that rejects do not murder, that nation is now lawless, and it's only a facade that there's any commitment to following the law. That's all a lie. So America is experiencing a psychotic episode, and you have a front row seat to it. America has become an insane asylum run by the criminally insane. So men who say they're girls are competing, and they're dominating. They're winning, of course, in every sport that they, I mean, maybe archery, marksmanship. I guess the women would have a good chance of beating a transvestite or transsexual, transgender. You know, there could be some sports left that some women might be able to beat some transgendered opponent. But right now, the sports that the men are saying they're girls and are just decimating the women are weightlifting, softball, cycling, track, wrestling, football, volleyball, dodgeball, handball, cricket, golf, basketball, and mixed martial arts, where guys are just punching women right in the face and knocking them out. How's that? I mean, that's criminal. That's absolutely criminal. Guys are supposed to protect women. I would love to ask one of these. I would love to ask one of these transgenders. I have in the past. I'd like to do it again. If you were on the Titanic and it was sinking in the middle of the night and they said, women and children to the lifeboats, what would you do? And when I have asked, they've become very angry and haven't wanted to answer that question. But I think today, now, after all that has transpired and all the mental illness that goes for public policy today, I think they would just say, yeah, I would get on the lifeboat ahead of other women. I think they would say that today. And so the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, and the Olympics both say you have to allow transgender athletes to compete. And when you have the girls that say they're guys and they take testosterone, so this is performance-enhancing drug, hormone therapy, injections, then they get more muscle, they get stronger, and then, but they'll let them compete with the girls. So they win also. Shouldn't they have to compete with the guys? That's what the other girls say in the sports. It shows it's just all mental illness. Stupid doesn't make you sin, but sin makes you stupid. Would you say that with me three times so that we'll all remember that? Stupid doesn't make you sin, but sin makes you stupid. Stupid doesn't make you sin, but sin makes you stupid. Stupid doesn't make you sin, but sin makes you stupid. Okay. And then we also have now the Associated Press issuing their new style guide and they're calling for writers to avoid using terms like the opposite sex. How's that? You can't say that anymore. That's not inclusive to say the opposite sex. Because today, there's more than a dozen different genders today. So, you know the opposites book that you read to kids? The opposites book. It's so fun. Night and day, you teach kids opposites. Hot and cold, you teach kids. Boy and girl, opposites. Well, forget that. Now that's hate speech. The Associated Press says you should avoid using terms like both genders. Shouldn't say that. Can't speak of both genders anymore. Either sex. Can't say either sex. But other than that, really, we just want to be left alone, us homosexuals and transvestites and transgenders and transspecials. We just want to be left alone. Okay. So, and now to our prediction, and this is on the coming drop in cancer mortality. In March of 2017, based on the targeted antibody immunotherapy, the cancer treatment revolution that we have been witnessing here at Bob and Yurt Live, we predict that cancer, which has long been the second leading cause of death in the U.S., nearly 600,000 deaths annually. Imagine that. 600,000 people dying annually from cancer. So cancer has long been the second leading cause of death. We predict that it will drop below stroke, which is currently the fifth leading cause of death. About 130,000 people per year die of stroke. So these are sad things, of course. Death is the enemy. And it's sad when people die, but this is the consequence of sin and living in the fallen world that we live in. And so the fifth leading cause of death today, according to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, is stroke. So you go from the second leading cause of death, which is cancer at nearly 600,000, down to the fifth, which is stroke at about 130,000. And so we predict that by the year 2025, now is that a long time from now? It's not too far. By the year 2025, that cancer will drop below stroke as a cause of death in America. And so that is, of course, an extraordinary change. That will be an extraordinary change in the health outlook and the expected longevity of an American. And you know what? My board operator, Dominic, he said, you know what? The CDC is wrong because the first leading cause of death, which they report is heart disease at over 600,000 a year, he said, really, it's abortion. Because that's about 1.3 million. God bless you guys.